Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, I wonder how you do Christmas presents in your family. We have, in our family, been through the various different stages. We've had the bit where the children just eat the wrapping paper. Then we've had the bit where they're much more interested in the wrapping paper than anything that's inside. We had the bit where they come down at 3 a.m. in the morning and open their presents. And then come and tell their parents what they've got. This year, we have moved into a new level of civilization. We did that thing when everyone sits around the room and we had the whole extended family for this one. And each person has to open a present by themselves and everyone else looks on. Obviously, this is a very kind of well-mannered and controlled environment, but it's also quite a tense one. Because basically, you have to do gratitude really well. So you get your present, you know, and it's, even if it's socks, it's got to be like, basically, this is just exactly what I need. I put my toe through my last sock this morning, and actually, these socks are just exactly the size of my feet. This is just so wonderful. And of course, there is just a little bit of the kind of gift stakes, you know, that thing, you know, how good was that gift? How good is that family doing in general? I'm sure you don't have that in your family. There was one moment, however, that went down really well this year. One member of my immediate family, and I will leave you to guess who it was absolutely thrilled. The present was this. Next slide. Which you'll probably be aware, is Lego Ninjago's Kai Elemental Fire Mech. That's its full name. And the person who received this was so thrilled, they erupted in joy. Actually, the first thing that happened, they were speechless for a while. And then they did quite a bit of punching the air, sort of like they'd scored a really good goal in football. And then they started punching the sofa instead, which just seemed a more sort of accessible way to do it. And then they said lots of thank yous in swift succession. And then they gave the present giver an enormous hug. Now, sometimes we get moments like this, don't we? Where we glimpse what it is to receive or understand or experience something so good, so valuable to us that we just sort of slightly explode from the inside with joy and just celebration. Now, every time that happens, we get a glimpse of what God has made us for. He has made us to say, wow. Or to put it in a more biblical way, he has made us to worship. He's made us to worship. And to help us grasp that idea, we're going to spend a little time with some of the most famous Christmas figures, the archetypal worshippers, if you like, this morning, the wise men. If we may go to the next slide, please, Sam. We're just going to recap the story. Okay, now we're going to do this recap by means of four questions. Four questions, always great questions to ask when coming to a biblical story. When, where, who, and why? Okay, so it opens as follows. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When did this happen? After Jesus was born. Not probably immediately after. In fact, he was probably a bit of a toddler. So it's a little bit way down the line. In our world, it's kind of 2 days later. Actually, probably a lot more than that. Okay, where? What are the place names in this story so far? What are they? There's Bethlehem. Fantastic. And Bethlehem is where Jesus was born. But the rest of this stuff doesn't happen in Bethlehem. Because what else is there? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You're right. Now, Jerusalem is mentioned. Why? The Magi came to Jerusalem because they were looking for the king of the Jews, a significant Jewish figure. They thought, well, let's go to the capital city, as it were, the place where they're most likely to be. And another place is mentioned. It's a point of the compass. Right. Okay. From the east. These figures have come from a long, long way away. Scholars are not quite sure exactly where they're from. Possibly Babylonia, somewhere like that. Okay, when and where? Right, let's keep going. The who. Who? Who gets mentioned here? Jesus. King Herod. The wise men. Let's go with those three for the moment. Now, the wise men... sometimes called three kings, but actually no indication that there was three of them, nor that they were kings. Or more properly, the Magi, which was the term used for sort of magician, astrologer types that they had in those days, as some significant kind of evidence of those kind of figures. Here they are. They're interested in stars. They've been following this particular one, and they've seen its movement. And so they follow it, believing it to be some sign of where a royal figure is going to be born. Okay, that's the when, where, the who, and the why. The why. They actually explain the why. What is the why? There's probably three whys. Why have they come? Oh, to worship? Okay, fantastic. That's the last one. Before that? Because of the star? Very good. And before that? So they're just like, they want to find out, right? They want to find out the location of the king of the Jews. Okay, so this builds up the picture. These Magi, they understood someone important has been born. King of the Jews has been born. The star has confirmed it. And they want to worship them. They want to come to this child. They want to say, wow, we are so pleased you're here. We think you are the best thing that has happened in our lives, and we want to show that to you. Now, what do we learn from this? Go to the next slide, Sam. Worshipping Jesus is for anyone, is not for everyone, and it's a costly joy. Let me just walk through that briefly. Worshipping Jesus is for anyone, first of all. This is actually one of the strangest moments in the story of Jesus' birth. Everyone around it so far has been Jewish. It's been lots about Mary and Joseph and their family and their devout faith and the way that there's this fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And then suddenly these guys show up. And they're not Jewish at all. They're from really far away. They had a very different culture. They probably looked very different. They certainly didn't have Brussels sprouts and bread sauce on Christmas Day. That's not how they rolled. And there must have been some muttering around from the neighbors when they went into Mary and Joseph's house. They probably had a different religion altogether. But their past was not an obstacle. They'd come to see Jesus, the King of the Jews. They believed he was not just the king of Jews. In fact, he was their king, the king of the whole world, and he deserved their worship. And so, too, we understand that whether we see ourselves as the likely people, one of the expected people to be there when Jesus appears, or even if we feel that we're very unexpected, that we've got a past that's a long way from Jesus, if we feel culturally completely out of place in church, if we feel we've up to now never really got what this whole Jesus thing is about, it doesn't matter. Worshiping Jesus is for anyone. And of course, that includes the people around us as well. The people in our workplace, our neighbors, our friends, our family. You know, all those people where you think, no, this isn't for them. Worshiping Jesus is for anyone. That's the first thing. Secondly, worshiping Jesus is not for everyone. Now, if this isn't too much of a contradiction with the first one, just follow me along. Worshiping Jesus is not for everyone. Not everyone joins the Magi, the wise men. In fact, very few do. And actually, if you read the story again and again, this also becomes immensely surprising. The Magi, they're walking to Jerusalem. So, did anyone, got any information about the king of the Jews? Herod gets together all the, the scribes that teach the law. Does anyone know anything about the king of the Jews? There's some people here. They followed a star. They're looking for the king of Jews. Oh, yeah, well, we've got it in our books. Apparently, it's Bethlehem. Great. Well, we'll just tell them to go to Bethlehem. Guys, your king. These guys have come from miles and miles around. Have you ever been at a tourist spot in the British Isles and someone walks past you and they've come 500 miles to this place to see it and you missed it completely? This is what's going on here. Extraordinary. Not everyone wants to worship this child. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. But they don't go. They don't go themselves. They know about the Messiah. They know quite a lot more than the Magi. But they don't go. Are they too busy? Are they scared? Are they worried how their life is going to change if they do? And of course, Herod's response is even worse. Not only does he not go, well, he fakes it. Verse 7, he says, he calls them secretly together. And then verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. Herod says all the right things. He's happy to go through the motions. But he's got absolutely no intention of worshiping Jesus. He actually, it turns out, wants to see the child put to death. In Herod's head, there's not space for two kings in Judah. And he wants to keep the crown on his own head. And of course, there's a temptation for each of us there too. And then thirdly, and finally, worshiping Jesus is a costly joy. Worshipping Jesus is a costly joy. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. So if we ask, is worshiping hard or easy? The answer is kind of both. It is a costly joy. It's costly because they came an incredibly long way. They had difficult encounters on the way to navigate. Their gifts were not cheap. I don't know whether anyone else got a bar of gold this Christmas, but that was a significant gift. They gave Jesus the absolute best of what they had. And so it is for us. Worshiping Christ is a costly way. It involves giving the very best of what we have. We have a church here full of wonderful people. You give great examples of what it looks like to give the best of what we have. But also, it's a joy to follow Jesus, to worship him. When they arrive, they don't think, oh, great, well, that's that done, brilliant. Well, they are thrilled. We've got there. The person our whole lives is about is right here, and we are with him. We don't want to be anywhere else. They had found what they were looking for, their Savior. And so it's a great joy. So worshiping Jesus is for anyone, though not for everyone. And it is a costly joy. Well, with that thought, I'd love us to turn our minds towards the year ahead. And we're going to sing first of all, and then we're going to come to this short act of covenant renewal. Just before we do that, I want you to just think of the wise men for a moment. Think of the wise men as a picture for 2025. You know the classic image that we always see, the outline. There they are, kind of lined up with their gifts. Imagine that's you coming to the new year ahead. I wonder what's in your hand. It may not be frankincense or myrrh or gold, but it's whatever treasures you have, whatever decisions, whatever gifts, whatever talents you have that you're bringing to the Lord. And then the year ahead is this opportunity to worship and to serve Christ. What will that look like for you? That's something to think about as we sing together. Let's stand to sing.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.